Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports pylon studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. 37 make that, 38 plus years now of being on top. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion and award-winning boxing writer. So the bottom line is, a little bit, I know a little bit about boxing. Maybe you know more. If you do, you can impart. Here's a toll-free, 1-800-878-7529. That's right. You want to drop a line here on the show? You can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Because also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613, the studio text line. Of course, wow, we know about Vitor Belfort lighting up Evander Holyfield last night, but guess who got knocked out one round as well? My buddy, Tito Ortiz, former mayor pro tem of Huntington Beach, California. The Huntington Beach bad boy. An idiot if there ever was one. The guy that got married to that porn star. What was her name? I can't think of her name right now. But the bottom line is, he's married to this porn star. He's having all these kids with this porn star. And he's wondering why people look at him funny in public. Come on, man. Your wife's like, you know, on film doing everybody in the world. Like 15, 20 guys. And you're like, this is my wife. Be respectful. How do you do that? Tito Ortiz got knocked out in one round last night by Anderson Silva. Tell me there isn't such thing as karma. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Adam and Eve. Perfect love was all that I was living for. All of a sudden, she came near. She whispered in my ear. She seemed to know the misery. She said, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How does that grab you?
Well, I'll tell you right after I get violently ill.
Good old Grandpa Munster, Al Lewis of the Munsters, of course, of Car 54 before that. He had a restaurant in New York City. It was sort of cool. You got to go by and see Grandpa. I kid you not, Grandpa Munster in the flesh. He shook his hand. You took a picture with him. He gave you a postcard, and the food was okay. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. People said to me, what is Triller? Triller is a fight club that has thrown a few pay-per-views. Of course, the Mike Tyson-Roy Jones fight of last year, of course, that comes to mind without a doubt. And of course, they did $80 million as far as the revenue was concerned for that. Of course, they gave Mike Tyson and Roy Jones probably a tenth of that. But at the end of the day, they made money, so they made money on that one. Last night, I'm not so sure they're going to make money on that. The CEO is Mike Lube. Evidently, Snoop Doggy Dogg is involved with this. Of course, you know, Snoop Dogg has got his own marijuana brand, all that kind of good stuff. More power to him. I think he's a cool dude, but boxing promotion, I don't know, man. I'd rather go back to the gangsters and Don King. I kid you not. I'd rather go back to the gangsters and Don King because things got done. Was Don King a gangster? I remember he said one time, he goes, I'm gonna do this exactly the way Don quoted it so I can't get in trouble, all right? So ESPN asked him, are you in the mafia? He goes, do they let niggas in the mafia? No! They don't let niggas in the mafia. No, I'm not in the mafia. So they was asking him if he was in the Cleveland mob. That's what they asked Don King back in the day. ESPN put that on TV. I kid you not. Anyway, bottom line is, he had his ties. Don King had his ties, and I think the ties were good. He had ties with good parts of government, bad parts of government, and he had ties with the mob as well. Of course, he was part of the mob because he ran the numbers racket in Cleveland, Ohio for a number of years, and the numbers racket is the illegal lottery. Before there was a lottery here in California, evidently there were the numbers guys. And what they did was they would, like, if you pick the first three, or like the first three races at Santa Anita. Santa Anita is a big horse track down there in Southern California. If you pick the winners of the first three races, like number 7 wins the first race, number 5 wins the second race, number 2 wins the third race, you've won the numbers for that day. So you get the big prize. It's an illegal lottery. That's what it was, an illegal lottery. So Don King had this illegal lottery going in Cleveland, Ohio. And of course, you know, one time he got robbed, this guy came in. And he pulled a gun on Don. He pulled a gun on Don and his business partner, who had passed away. But then Don ended up marrying his wife. God, I can't think of her name right now. It's killing me. Anyway, the bottom line is, so Don King's getting robbed. This guy's got a gun in Don's face, puts a gun in his face, give me my money, blah, blah. All this kind of good stuff. Don's explaining it to me. So the guy turned around, turned his back on Don King. Shame on you, buddy. He got shot in the back. He was dead. Okay. And of course, there was the other murder in which Don King was involved with. I think it was Sam Garrett. Sam Garrett owed Don some money as far as a numbers debt was concerned. And Don King and him got into a bit of a rumble there in the street. And Don was a big dude. I mean, Don was a guy. He never fought anybody in high school. He ran from people in high school. He was a big bit of a sissy. But he was a big dude compared to other people. I mean, a big, burly black dude, probably about 6'3". At one point in time, about 240, 250, sometimes as high as 300 pounds. But anyway, so Don puts the lien on Sam Garrett, and the cops come. And Sam Garrett said, Don, I'll pay you the money. So just before the cops get to where Don is, Don kicks him in the head one more time and kills him. That's why Don King went to prison, spent 6.5 years in prison. Of course, his sentence was eventually commuted. He was pardoned by the governor of Ohio, wink, wink. And of course, he was no longer a felon, so he could travel anywhere in the world. And that was paramount to Don King being able to travel, being able to do his thing, being able to be Don King, because he couldn't go to Japan with his criminal record. He just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So, I mean, all those places he went as a promoter, he was able to go because of the fact he got pardoned by this governor. So anyway, Don King pulls off the con of the century, the call it what you want, 1973, gets that pardon. 1974, he meets Don Elbaum. Don Elbaum is doing boxing in Cleveland, Ohio. He's still alive. He's like 90 years old. Still alive. He and Don King are both 90, I believe. So anyway, he meets Don Elbaum and they put together this exhibition at a hospital. The Elbaum happens to have Ernie Shavers, the heavyweight slugger at the time. He has him under contract. And Don King says, I want to do this benefit at this hospital. How are we going to do it? I'll get Muhammad Ali to do this benefit. So he conned Ali into doing this benefit. That's how he formed the relationship with Muhammad Ali. Later that year, he went and got some money and offered both George Foreman and Muhammad Ali $2.5 million each to fight in Zaire, Africa. Okay. Only thing in Zaire, Africa was there is like bushes and tigers and that kind of good stuff and natives. Okay. So they went over there. Don King convinced the entire world and President Mobutu of then Zaire. I think it's the Congo now. Anyway, the United Congo. I think he convinced the president they were going to turn Zaire into Las Vegas, Palm Springs. This was going to do it. This event, this Foreman and Muhammad Ali fight was going to make this the second coming of the French Riviera, okay, over there. So Mobutu bought into this, and he bankrupted the country by paying like almost $6 million for this fight to happen, okay? So the fight happens. Nobody shows up. Nobody wants to go to the jungle and watch a fight. Come on. They called it the Rumble in the Jungle because it was the Rumble in the Jungle. That's just what it was. I kid you not. The Rumble in the Jungle out in the middle of nowhere. They had to cut away bushes in order to make the stadium. So anyway, they make this makeshift stadium outside. Ali ends up knocking out George Foreman, of course, and gets the heavyweight championship back. At the end of the day, I'm told that Don King did not pay Muhammad Ali the whole $2.5 million. He wiggled his way out of close to $500,000. Of course, when Don King promoted the Muhammad Ali Larry Holmes fight October 2nd, 1980, Muhammad told me he was supposed to get $8.5 million, and that Don King only gave him, get this, $5 million. So, you know, I guess Don shortchanged a few people at the end of the day. But if you didn't make any money when you were with Don King, it was on you because you have the spotlight on you. The opportunity is there for you. You've got to have the right management, the right people in order to work the right deal with this guy. Listen, you're not going to go into a promoter's office and get a deal that's going to be perfectly your way if you let him negotiate it. Okay. And that's what a lot of guys did with Don King is they walk into his office and said, you know what, man? I'm cool. I'll anything you want to do, like Haseem Rahman. He had a $24 million check from HBO, the biggest company in the world, Time Warner. He has a $24 million check from them, and Don King offered him $350,000 in a duffel bag, and he took that instead. $350,000 or a $24 million check. can I say, 350 grand is what he took. Hasim Rahman, of course, two dead bodies ended up in the trunk of his car. That's a story for another day. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. After the break, we take it to Kiev, the Ukraine, and bring in Eddie Croft, of course, a prime-time trainer, prime-time Eddie Croft, former WBC regional champion, I believe, at 122 pounds, of course. Now a trainer extraordinaire coming to us from the B Street Boxing Gym in San Mateo, California. Now he's coming to us from Ukraine. After the break, Eddie Croft.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Good to see you're still alive. I think I like you.
Some of the new stuff from the mighty Tower of Power on the soul side of town. Check it out, towerofpower.com. Speaking of a Tower of Power, let's take it to the Ukraine and bring him my Tower of Power when it comes to up-and-coming trainers. He is going to be well-known in 15 or 20 years from now as one of the guys that changed boxing. Why do I say that? Because he's my guy, Primetime Eddie Croft. What's up, Primetime?
What's happening, Pedro? How you doing, man?
How's life treating you?
Life is treating me very well. I'm back in Europe. It's crazy, you know, how I'm getting a chance to fly around the world. And, you know, I've been here for about a little over a month. Spent 3 weeks in the Bavarian forest in Germany, and then we got in here last night back into Kiev, and then we'll go back to Germany in a month.
You know what's funny is that a friend of ours, and I won't mention his name, but he said to me this morning, is he making money? Is he making money? I mean, everybody's got to make money, I understand that, but, you know, you get the chance to spend time in other people's cultures and other parts of the world for extended periods of time. Some of those TV gigs I did, I took less money in order to stay more time there. You know what I'm trying to say there, Eddie?
Yeah, exactly. No, and look, I'll be completely honest. I'm not making a lot of money right now. I am making money, but I'm not making Freddie Roach money, but the whole thing is, you know, once Evgeny, you know, he's fighting Truax, Caleb Truax on the 15th mm-hmm. of October. Mm-hmm. And he wins that, you know, once we kick the crap out of him, then, you know, he'll be the number one contender. So he will have a shot at either Plant or Canelo, which, you know, right now it's most likely going to be Canelo. And, you know, in a perfect world, and what we're hoping for is that Canelo doesn't vacate and look for a bigger fight. He said he wanted to fight in his hometown. You know, he hasn't done that, fought in Guadalajara for a long time. And, you know, none of the big names are going to go there and fight him. So, you know, I'm hoping that he'll go, hey, man, we'll take a mandatory and we'll do it in Guadalajara. And, we'll be more than happy to go and fight him there.
Okay, I don't pronounce your fighter's name as well as you do. Can you pronounce it for me?
Yes, his name is Evgeny Shevchenko.
Can we cut that short to something like, I mean, you know, a lot of these names, what did you say that, Cuddy? What did you say? Yeah, can we cut it short to maybe the Chev? Anyway, but the bottom line is, he's a good fighter. He's undefeated now. 15 fights?
Yep.
15 fights, okay? And you've got him taking on Caleb Truax. This is a crossroads fight for both guys, without a doubt. I mean, the winner steps up, the loser steps back, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you what. It's more of a crossroads fight for Truax since, one, he's a former champ. Two, he just lost in a title eliminator against Caleb Plant. And this is, you know, Evgeny's first title. Well, the first one that's actually going to go off. This is like the third time, you know, that we've been, you know, in line for this fight. But, you know, I there's nothing that Truax can do better than Evgeny. Okay. Right. So I'm not, you know, yes, you're always concerned because it's boxing and, you know, strange things happen. The person that is supposed to win doesn't always win, but they usually do. So, you know, I'm real confident in Evgeny's skill set that he's going to, you know, really look dominant and, you know, we're going to be next in line, hopefully, to fight Canelo. I will be screaming it from the mountaintops, though.
Okay. And I'll let you scream it on this show. Now let's talk just for a minute about the Jake Paul and the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey boxing. Jake Paul did 11,000, no, he sold 14,000 seats a couple of weeks ago, and he did a couple of million buys on pay-per-view. I don't think he's the greatest fighter in the world. I don't think he's ever going to be world champion or anything like that, but he's getting people to look at boxing that normally wouldn't look at boxing. Is that good or is that bad?
You know what? I don't necessarily think it's good or bad. It's good for him, obviously. I don't think it has any bearing on the sport that we love and the sport that we grew up watching. It is actually indicative of what boxing, you know, and, you know, it's always been this way, right? They've always had, you know, okay, you know, we have like a celebrity fights or,
When
Ali, you know, fought the Japanese wrestler and the dude fell on the ground and kicked him in the shin a bunch of times.
No,
they always had, you know, they've always done stuff like this. And so to me, it really shows boxers that if you can market yourself, then you can make money. Whether or not you know, you're good and you deserve, like it doesn't matter what, you know, the boxing pundits or other fighters think you should get. It doesn't matter. If you can put butts in the seat and get eyes on the screen, then you deserve that money. So boxers have to figure out a way to market themselves.
Okay. Question is, Holyfield versus Vitor Belfort as low as boxing can go?
You know what? I actually wrote this to somebody on Facebook today. Yeah, you know what? It's sad to see, but at the same time, he got paid $1 million, right? So, yes. Okay. Let's say taxes and dude, he's not paying, you know, whoever trained him for this fight for like 2 or 3 weeks is not getting, you know, they're not getting 10%.
I didn't see Don Turner in the corner. Is Don Turner dead? Right. You know who Don Turner was?
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
That I don't know. You know what? I saw him. When did I see him? Like maybe 2012 was the last time I saw him. But yeah, you know what? I don't know.
You know, I had him on the show one time, Eddie, and he had beaten prostate cancer, and I guess he didn't want nobody to know about it. So I said to him, what's it like to beat prostate cancer?
Oh.
And the guy went really quiet on me, man. I said to myself, wrong question. Next one. Yeah. Bottom line is Don was a good guy. Don trained Holmes. Don trained a lot of good guys, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, look, that's what I'm working to be. That's, you know, I'm aspiring to be a trainer like that.
Well, you know, I got to hang out with guys like Angelo Dundee and his wife and their great Eddie Futch used to call me son. You know, so I got to hang around with some pretty knowledgeable trainers and this and that and got to watch these guys work. And Emmanuel Stewart, of course, I was the Goldfather's stepson. So I got to be around some pretty brilliant guys and they all made mistakes. Somebody said to me, you know, Emmanuel Stewart, did he have a perfect career? I said, no, he probably blew the first Tommy Hearns, Ray Leonard fight by bringing Tommy in 145.3 pounds. He shrunk him down in weight too much. And of course, then he sent Hearns, the killer, the Motor City hitman, sent him out there to box Ray Leonard. And he boxed Ray for five rounds till Ray cracked him in the body and cracked a rib. But he went out there and tried to be the hitman like he did with Duran, like he did with Cuevas and guys like that. I think he might have posed more of a threat to Ray Leonard, and he might be the greatest welterweight of all time had Emmanuel and Tommy not done that. Can you see any validity in what I'm saying?
I was just going to say, I don't know if I completely agree with that, Pedro. You know what? The thing that I remember, especially, you know, as a kid, you know, being a big Sugar Ray fan, and I was worried about that too after seeing Hearns, you know, just starch Quavis like that. Now remember, I'm 11 years old, and I don't, you know, I wasn't as well versed in boxing as I am now, but I do remember him just having a, you know, like a laser sharp jab early in the fight, and Leonard had a really hard time with it. And he started getting caught with right hands at, you know, like, because he just couldn't deal with that jab. So the right hand started getting through. But the thing about Leonard is, one, he could take a shot, and two, that man was mean. So, you know, when he got in close enough and he, you know, started landing some shots, yeah, he started hurting Hearns. And that is when Hearns kind of, you know, got on his bike a little more. You know, the first time he kind of got wobbled, then he started boxing him a little bit more, and then he kind of regained momentum in that fight.
Okay, but Eddie, when you come to the dance, you bring what brought you to the dance. Knocking people out was what brought Tommy Hearns to the dance, and he's trying to outbox the best boxer in the world.
Well, it wasn't only because that was a game plan, or that's what, Emmanuel Stewart told him to do. It's because, you know what? He couldn't consistently land that hard right hand on Leonard. So come on, Pedro. You know that when you're boxing and you're moving and you're shooting, you're sticking that jab. And the old saying is, you don't look for the knockout. You let the knockout come, right? So the thing is, I felt like if he could have got Leonard out of there, he would have. You know, if he felt like there was a time that he could have stepped on the gas or stayed in front of him, then he would have. But I just think that the time that Leonard was hitting him, he just knew, you know what, he's not ready yet. I need to soften him up a little bit more. And it just, he could never do it. He could never get Leonard, you know, in the right position. That's my opinion.
Okay, second time around, he knocks Ray down twice and gets a draw.
And he won that fight.
Oh!
And he won that fight. And the thing, here's the thing. So you also have to remember, back then, right, I want to say like 2-3 months before, they were talking about like, not only rounds that have knockdowns being 10-8 rounds, but rounds that where you're totally dominant, yeah, and you're hurting guys. Mm-hmm. They were scoring those. So there was a big emphasis on that. So remember, Leonard had Hearns hurt a few times, and there was one round where, you know, Hearns was flopping around the ring and he's grabbing and holding on for dear life, and they called that a 10-8 round. So, you know, because of that, you can see why they scored it a draw. But, you know, really, Hearns won that fight.
You know, I trained with Ray in West Palm Beach for like 17 days for that fight. We ran together and did all kinds of crazy stuff down there in West Palm Beach. And I said to myself, this is an incredibly well-toned athlete. I mean, he seemed to be clicking on every cylinder, no doubt about that. But when he got into that fight with Tommy, and then he didn't tell me that day, but Ray told me about a year and a half later, or 2 years later, I think we were in Mexico City, and he said to me, he goes, you know, I lost that fight with Tommy. Like the second, he admits it. He admits it without a doubt, you know. Because he and Tommy, we're all in the same room, okay?
Yeah.
And Tommy's about to walk over to us, and I said, hey, Ray, what do you think of Tommy? He goes, Tommy beat me the second time. You know, something like, real. Tommy beat me the second time. Anyway, stick around. Eddie Croft is our guest. Of course, after the break, we'll talk to him about Terrence Crawford taking on Sean Porter. And, of course, the fact that MMA and boxing are coming to a head as far as the clashes are concerned. Tito Ortiz got destroyed last night by Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva, of course, the same guy that destroyed Julio Cesar Chavez about a month ago, Junior. At the end of the day, Anderson can still fight at 43, I guess. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. More with B Street Boxing's Eddie Croft after the break. Good. Most of them got girls at home.
Oh, they ought to think before they roam. Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. No, you don't want to ruin your You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Tower of Power has a new lead singer. I kid you not, it's like the 19th or the 20th or the 21st. I kid you not. They've had like 19 albums in like 50 years, right? They've had like 25 lead singers, I kid you not. But there's a new guy on lead. I have yet to see him. Of course, Tower of Power is still rocking at towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the WBC TV as well coming to you on Veev TV. Of course, the hot and happening new network. On the line from the Ukraine is the trainer extraordinaire. Of course, I'm talking about Mr. Eddie Croft. Eddie Croft's going to take on Caleb Truex. And what does Caleb bring to the dance?
You know, he's a tough guy. He's rough and tumble. You know, he'll come forward and put a lot of pressure on you. And he's got a decent jab, you know, a decent power, but that's about it.
So we're gonna we decided we're gonna nickname your guy the Shiv. I gotta get his approval on that first, so okay.
Yeah, he's not gonna like that, but that's okay.
No, I mean, but it's close. I mean, Evan and Ev, Jenny. Shiv and Shiv.
It's very simple. Evgeny. Try it, Pedro.
Evgeny. Daddy's giving me English lessons on the air. Okay, Eddie, first time ever. Go on.
Evgeny Shevchenko.
Evgeny Shevchenko. Okay, we got that down. Now he fights out of Germany. You told me he's got a contract where his promoters or his managers pay him a yearly salary. Is that correct?
They pay him every month, but yeah, it's a yearly salary, yes.
So that sounds like a pretty good deal for a fighter, because most fighters don't have that type of privilege.
Well, you know what? It's actually how they do it over here in Germany. And I first found that out when I trained Melissa McMorrow and when she won the world title, mm-hmm. Over here, when we came over here and we, you know, snatched away from a German girl. They had a gym, and there's apartments around the gym, and these fighters could live in the apartments for free, and they all got paid like monthly salaries. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the only time that they ever got away from that, let's say, you know, if they ever got to be, you know, a world title or close to, you know, a number one contender, and a fight went to a purse bid, and the other, you know, the other side won the purse bid. So what happened is they would kind of like just tabulate all the money they spent on you for however many years. And then if, you know, once the other promoter that won the purse bid, the other promoter's not paying the fighter. They pay a promoter, you know, it's promoter to promoter. That's how it goes, you know. So the promoter pays you, you know, let's say a U.S. promoter will pay the German promoter. And if that money recoups, you know, all the money they, you know, spent on you in, you know, for the past however many years, then you will start seeing the money from those huge purses. If not, then they, you know, they keep on kind of, you know, keep getting it. Until they break even, and okay. Then, you know, and then you're making money at that point anyways. You don't have to get that money.
Eddie, let me switch gears here. Did you get a chance to watch Gabe Flores from Stockton, California the other night with Luis Lopez?
I missed the Valdez fight. I missed Gabe. I was really sad, to hear about it. You know,
he got destroyed.
Yeah.
Listen, the other guy should have been arrested for domestic violence afterwards. I mean, it was that bad. And the fact that his father, you know, there's no media. I have problems with guys, their father's their corner man or their trainer or their manager or the guy's in the corner. He's in the corner making the decisions, because the father let him go out for the 10th round. He had lost all 9 rounds, Eddie. There's no sense in sending a guy out for the 10th round. If he's lost all 9 rounds, he's got a busted up face.
Unless you're a puncher. Which he's not.
But you know, I think that you want to put that asterisk there, unless he's a puncher. Is the punishment, the residual effects that professional boxers suffer trying to hang around for that one punch, is it really worth it? Don't you think it's really better to pack it in and admit defeat after 3 rounds than taking an ass kicking for 10? I mean, because those seven rounds, the residual effects from those seven rounds of being beaten on like a drum, sometimes you don't turn them back.
Well, after three rounds, it's still a little early. You still have a chance to turn the fight around. And look, Pedro, you know, we're fighters, man. We're not going to give up. Yes, it is up to the trainer to decide, you know what, is he going to be able to make it out of this? Is he going to be able to turn this around? And, you know, after three rounds, most trainers aren't going to do it unless the guy's, you know, like been down two or three times, then they might stop it.
All right,
but,
right.
You know, right. No, I can't be completely accurate because I didn't see the fight.
Okay.
I've had everybody call me about it. Cause we know the kid. He's been down to B Street about 10 times and sparred with my guys.
Mm.
And, you know, like I feel for him.
Yeah, good luck. His father should have never, ever, 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 ever put him out like that. I mean, that was absolutely one of the worst decisions made in a long, long time. And the residual effects he might not be able to overcome. Now,
absolutely. That seems to be 100% what everybody's saying.
Okay.
So,
all right. Terrence Crawford. 37 in zip, of course, the champion at 135, 140, 147. Going to take on Sean Porter. Sean Porter comes in at 31-1 with three draws. Anyway, one no contest, 17 wax. Does Porter have enough to beat Terrence Crawford?
I think it's going to be a good fight. I don't think that he's going to win. I think Crawford should win or will win. I think Crawford will win, but I think the fight's going to be good. I think it'll be an exciting fight, and I can't wait to see it.
The heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, is going to be in action in a few weeks with Deontay Wilder, the 2004 Olympic bronze medalist, of course, coming to us from that boxing hotbed that's not Mobile, Alabama. What can Deontay Wilder do the third time he couldn't do the first or the second time? Eddie, you're a trainer.
You know what? I don't know if he had enough time to really implement all this new stuff.
But he's got Malik Scott training him. Malik Scott took a dive against him in Puerto Rico.
That's what I'm saying. I still feel that he should have kept Breland. I mean, Breland is like one of the best amateurs that we'd ever had in this country.
He's a stone cold square. I mean, Mark doesn't swear. Mark's the only guy in the 84 team that never broke his annuities. Holyfield broke them. Meldrick Taylor broke them. Pernell Whitaker broke. Everybody broke their annuities except Mark Breland. So Mark's got like $100,000 a year coming in, tax free at the age of 50. But he's such a square to be accused of putting, I mean, Deontay Wilder accused him of putting tranquilizers in his ring water, in his water. Then he said he put Valiums in there or something like Xanax or something like that. I mean, Breland should have sued him for libel.
I don't know if he would have won that case, but I do feel like he was painted by Wilder. I do feel like he was, painted in an unfair light. You know, I don't agree with what happened. And, you know, but at the same time, I look at it like this. Even though, like, Breland was such a technician, Wilder never was.
Eddie wouldn't train. He wouldn't do bad work. He didn't want to jump rope.
He just never, he never improved. He never took the time to perfect the craft, right? Or to attempt to perfect the craft. The thing about him, he's got such a weapon that, you know, we haven't really ever really seen a weapon like that. You know, like a right hand just that can start you at any moment. And even hard punchers, a guy like Sonny Liston, George Foreman. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're strong and heavy-handed dudes. But, like, no one's ever seen, like, a missile like that just come out of nowhere and just put your lights out like that. And the funny thing is, it's kind of a curse to him. It's a blessing and a curse. He just never learned, and he never kept trying to learn, right? So the thing I've watched with Malik in their training, like, he's trying to teach him to, you know, a little rhythm and how to move and throw a better technique on his punches. But like, I don't even think Malik Scott really knows what he's doing as far as from the mitt drills I'm seeing. Yeah, some of them, you know, some things are good, but you can't, it's hard to get exactly what they're trying to do if you don't see the whole thing. And for me, what I would try to do with Deontay Wilder is everything you can do to just keep yourself in position to throw that right hand, right? You just like, and just a little adjustment of movement, distance, you know, don't let Fury, you know, come in and rush you and smother you. You gotta just take one little angle and, you know, fire off that right hand. You gotta kind of keep Fury at just not feeling so confident that he could just walk you down like okay. that.
Caleb Plant, of course, coming to us from Tennessee, I believe, but now he's training in Vegas. He's going to fight Canelo in November. Does he have a chance?
Yeah, he has a chance. I don't think he's going to win. But he has a chance. The one thing I am concerned about. I've seen Plant. He looks great in the beginning of fights and he's slick and he's got good footwork early, but you can like later in the fights, guys are able to pressure him and get him against the ropes. And if that happens with Canelo, then it's going to be bad news for him.
Okay. I got in some heat this week for saying that I thought that overall historically Sugar Ray Robinson is overrated. Now, here's a guy that I met and I interviewed. I spent time around him in this net. But when I look at his old films, him fighting at welterweight, the only guy he fought was Tommy Lane. He beat him for the title. He defended against Kid Gavilan. Outside of that, the 43 guys he fought at welterweight were a bunch of stiffs. Okay. Then he moved up to middleweight and got beat by guys like Carmen Basilio. And Carmen told me, look, I'm just an onion farmer with two hands. I'm no great fighter. This guy can't be the greatest fighter of all time if I beat him. Is Ray Robinson overrated historically?
No.
No?
No.
You know, he told me that. I said, what is the difference between you and Ray Leonard? He said, Ray is faster than me, might hit a little harder. What does that mean? That Ray's a better fighter?
Look, Ray Leonard was great. So I don't, you know. Look, I look at Ray Robinson's, I mean, the thing is, he's well, you know, ahead of his time. And man, the guy was like, you know, damn near undefeated as a welterweight, right? He lost one fight, I think, as a welterweight. And how many fights did he have before he even got a title shot? Damn near 60 or something.
Yeah, but so, I'll agree with you on that one. I mean, he was good for boxing, but at the end of the day, I say to myself, you know, I think Marvin Hagler would have ran him out of the ring.
Possibly, you know, I mean, possibly, I don't, you know what? Yeah, because again, you know, Ray Robinson's best weight really was welterweight,
mm-hmm.
right? That was his best weight. And, look, you know, the guy was like a middleweight champion for a long time. It's not like Ray Leonard moved up and beat Hagler and had a long career as a middleweight. He had, you know, just one good fight as a middleweight.
Okay, real quick. Eddie, I got to run. B Street Boxing. I was by there last night down there to get an Amici's Pizza, so I wish you the best. Come back to town. You got a big fight coming up. I wish you the very best of luck with that, man. Anytime you need me, call me.
Thank you, baby. I'll talk soon.
The great Eddie Craw, folks. You can check him out at B Street Boxing. Of course, he's a trainer, the man that runs it. It's a nonprofit training organization, a gym down there in San Mateo, California. Once again, bstreetboxing.com and Eddie Craw. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
When's the last time anybody died from chickenpox? Shaking your head, no, right? Well, guess what? The governor in Texas, He wants to keep up chickenpox vaccinations, but he won't go with the COVID vaccinations. Does this make sense, folks? Does this make sense at all? Trump took the vaccine. He tells his people, I took the vaccine. I mean, Miss Vega took the vaccine. Everybody took the vaccine. Virginia took the vaccine. Bobby, I don't know if he's going to take the vaccine. The bottom line is this decision to take the vaccine, some lady back east, she decided she wasn't going to take the vaccine. She was 41 years old. She wasn't going to take it. So she got COVID, and then they had to isolate her in the house, right? But guess what? They didn't want to take her to the doctor because she wasn't sick enough, right? But she was sick enough to get her child sick, who died within 12 hours. I kid you not. These are COVID horror stories started by people that are either uneducated, ignorant. Call it what you want. But the bottom line is, you know, if you take your dog, you get your dog, you adopt a dog, they got to give them shots. You got to get vaccination before you take the dog out. Before the dog can hang with other dogs, it's got to get vaccinated. So why is it everybody or this 27% of the population is against vaccines? Why? Because they're friggin' idiots. That's all I can say. If you're that stupid, you deserve to die. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, brought to you in part by the World Boxing Council. Don't forget, you can always check out the World Boxing Council, the WBC, at their website at WBCboxing.com. Let me let you know, Ring Talk Live Worldwide airs Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and the American Forces Network. Of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. You can check out our broadcast 24/7. Until next time, peace, love, and Miss Vegas in the studio.